Howdy, and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 9, Day 4 of the study of Revelation. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Revelation 19, 1-5. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Click subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Store to get this Bible study 5 days a week for your commute, workout, or wherever else you may listen. I want to encourage you to do something very special over the next few weeks. Lauren Cunningham, founder of Youth with a Mission, has asked us to pray to end Bible poverty worldwide. We need believers and unbelievers reading the Bible so they can know God. Would you consider praying to end Bible poverty on a weekly and daily basis? If so, would you please go to endbiblepovertynow.com and sign up to pray? Let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you end Bible poverty worldwide? Would you cause your people to begin reading your word on a daily basis? Would you provide your beautiful word to every tongue on earth? Raise up translators, messengers, missionaries, and workers for your global harvest through your word. And God, would you speak to us today through the book of Revelation? In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into the book of Revelation. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Revelation 19, verse 1. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants." And again they shouted, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." The 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God and who were seated on the throne. And they cried, "Amen! Hallelujah!" Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small." So that's the end of our passage for today. And I want you to understand here, we've been talking about Babylon all week. There's a lot that's going on in the book of Revelation, but the one subject that occupies the greatest number of words, the greatest chunk of time in the book of Revelation is this subject of Babylon. Babylon is the most important subject in the book of Revelation. Here at the end, after we've seen all of the judgments, everything that's been poured out, we weren't really given an explanation as to why until now. So we go through all of these judgments. We go through the seals and the trumpets and the bowls and all of the parenthetical sections and all the background information. We know about the Antichrist, and everything that we find out is that the Antichrist, God gave the Antichrist authority to rule and reign over the earth so that he would judge and destroy Babylon. Babylon is the why behind Revelation. If you feel that Revelation, that God is cruel in the book of Revelation, then understand that Babylon is the why. This city and system that I believe have not yet raised up. I believe there's precursors on the earth right now. I believe there's been precursors all throughout human history, including the original nation of Babylon. But I believe there are precursors right now. But we haven't seen the fullness of this yet. We haven't seen what this is going to look like. This is going to be so bad that all of heaven is going to rejoice over her destruction. They're going to rejoice that God has avenged the blood of his saints. Understand here that multiple times now we've seen that people in heaven have cried out saying, "God, how long until you judge? How long until you bring justice?" And here we see that this justice has come. God has brought justice against this Babylonian system. And he will, in the end, he will bring judgment against the Antichrist. This is something that we need to look at soberly. What is coming? And we've been talking about this all week. What's coming is going to happen before the Great Tribulation begins, before that day when the Antichrist sets up the abomination that brings desolation in the holy place of the temple. Before that happens, Babylon will have been on the earth for years, possibly decades. Who knows how long, but it will have been in place and it will be bringing cruel judgment against God's people. Cruel judgment, literal persecution, literal torture, and literal martyrdom. That is what Babylon will stand for. It will be exceedingly wealthy. It will be exceedingly decadent in every way, but it will be exceedingly cruel to God's people. It will hate us. Jesus said that the world will hate you. He promised us that was going to happen. This shouldn't be any surprise. There's this day coming. Paul said that that there's going to be a moment where the restrainer will be lifted away. And after the restrainer is lifted, then the lawless one will come. And he's talking about the Antichrist. This restrainer, I believe, is the Holy Spirit. Many people have different opinions about what this restrainer is, but we know, I believe that it's the Holy Spirit, but we know that the Antichrist will not come until that is taken away. I believe when the Holy Spirit ceases to be the conscience of men. And yes, the Holy Spirit is the conscience of men, even those who aren't believers. He restrains men from doing wicked. There is wicked deep within our hearts. And we don't, unsaved men, even unsaved people, don't do the full wickedness that's in their hearts because the Holy Spirit holds them back. That conscience is still within them, even though they don't have the Holy Spirit. You know, God said that eternity has been written on our hearts. We have the testimony of God in everything that we see. Creation cries out to that. But there's coming a day where men will be allowed to express the fullness of the wickedness in their heart. That's what we're going to see in Babylon. I believe that this restrainer, I don't know that when Paul was saying that when the restrainer is taken away, that Babylon will immediately, or the Antichrist will immediately be revealed, but it will be after the restrainer is taken away that the Antichrist will be revealed. And so I wonder sometimes, is that restrainer, will the Holy Spirit be taken away either progressively or all at once? And will give rise to Babylon doing what she's doing here to the saints of the earth. I don't know. At least we have to believe that at some point that the Holy Spirit, that restraint will be lifted progressively until it's completely gone from the earth over the unsaved people of God. Now, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit abandoning God's people. We're talking about the restrainer over the unsaved people. When Paul is talking about the restrainer, the Holy Spirit is not there to restrain believers. The Holy Spirit is there to teach us and guide us. The Holy Spirit is wisdom for us. Those who believe don't understand the Holy Spirit's job for believers is to restrain us. Now, he may do that from time to time, but the freedom that we have in God is that we're now free from sin. We don't need restraint. We have freedom from sin as believers. It's unbelievers who don't have freedom over sin, and they need the restraint. They need that Holy Spirit-given restraint to keep them from manifesting the fullness of the wickedness in their heart. But we're free from that as believers. We've been given freedom to live free from the bondage of sin and shame. That's why we're told early on in this passage about Babylon is the angel said, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of her so you don't share in her wickedness." This will not be an hour where you will want to claim God's freedom as a license for sin. To do so, you will do so at your own peril. If you do not come out of her at that moment, then you will share in her sins and you will share in her destruction. We promise that. So I encourage you, set your heart now to gain wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And like we've talked about all week, when The Bible says wisdom. When Revelation says wisdom, we're not talking about being smart enough to figure it out. We're not talking about putting a timeline together where you've calculated the days from Daniel and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Revelation. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about being smart enough to put two and two together and look at this and look at that. I encourage you to study. I encourage you to read every end time prophetic scripture. There's hundreds, literally hundreds of scriptures about the end times and the millennial kingdom and eternity. In fact, that is the most prevalent subject in the entirety of the Bible. There's more about what's coming in this great tribulation period and the millennial kingdom and the forever reign of God. There's more about that in the Bible than anything else. So I encourage you to read them, become familiar with those passages and study them. But don't try and be so smart and figure them out. That's not what God is telling us when he says we need wisdom. He's saying we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We have got to kindle a relationship, a fiery relationship, a living relationship with the Holy Spirit. That is what we need. That's powerful. The wisdom that we need to understand what's going on during these times is the prophetic movement of God. We need to be able to hear what he's doing, what he's saying to us in that moment. Because if he's going to provide us protection, I believe the Lord will provide great protection from his people during these time periods. Not everyone will be saved. Think of Peter and James. You know, one day the disciples were having great victories. The Sanhedrin, the Jewish leadership, had all but given up on trying to rebuke and chastise and punish the apostles for their teaching. They were leading thousands of people in Jerusalem and around to the Lord, and the Jewish leadership had all but given up. They couldn't effect any more change. They couldn't punish these people. They couldn't beat them. They couldn't do anything to them and have them stop sharing the gospel. And one day, Herod took James and beheaded him. In a moment, he beheaded him. And the next day, he saw that the Jews liked it. He saw that it made people happy, so he took Peter, and he was going to do the same thing to him the next day. And we see in the book of Acts that God saves Peter. So Peter and James were both in this inner circle that Jesus had. He had his 12, but he had his three. He had Peter, James, and John, one of whom is writing this book. Those were the three closest people to him. He let them inside. He let them see more than anyone else. He took them up on the Mount of Transfiguration. That very same James did not live very long after the day of Pentecost. He was cut off, cut short, unceremoniously. Why did the Lord save Peter and not James? We don't know. We don't know. But what we do know is that part of the eternal city is named after him. Whether your time is short or long on the earth matters nothing to God. What matters is what do you do with your life while you're here? And when that day comes, if you're asked to stand up for the Lord in the face of certain death, do you stand? That's what matters. Your reward in eternity depends on that. There's coming a day where this Babylonian system will destroy God's people worldwide. Are you preparing your heart now? Are you preparing now to engage with God, engage with the Holy Spirit, to cultivate a lifestyle where you listen to the Holy Spirit? When you lay your head down at night, do you ask the Lord to speak to you? When you wake up in the morning, do you ask the Lord to guide and direct your steps? When you go to meetings, do you ask the Lord to give you wisdom to understand what's going on with the people in those meetings? When you speak to your spouse, do you ask the Lord to give you wisdom and understanding? Do you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, how to give you gracious and kind words to speak to your children and your family? Encourage you. I need this myself. I encourage you and I encourage me. Cultivate that lifestyle of openness, of open communication and dialogue with the Holy Spirit. That is a mind of wisdom. That is what we need now, and that's what we will desperately need in these end times. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. And as always, I really do appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's the number one way to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with a recap of Revelation 17 through 19.